We're doing the Chazon Ish. We're up to the eighth section of the first chapter. The Chazon Ish is now going to touch on something which maybe we've thought about or maybe we prefer not thinking about, and that is our imagination. Our imagination is really a part of our thinking. It's a part of our mind. And imagination, a part of the imagination, is that which is superficial and does not look beyond the surface. You can just imagine things, right? And our imagination has a way of convincing us. And the imagination has a way of conquering our hearts so that we don't think and we do not contradict the imagination. Meaning people will imagine many things and convince themselves and decide that they're right, and then they won't think otherwise. Now, the mind is the constant, how would you say in English literature, the one who fights against? Antagonist? Not really the antagonist. Yeah, but I don't think it's right to make the imagination as the protagonist. There's nemesis?
Nemesis.
Okay, the mind is the nemesis of the imagination. V'adam akir b'sichlo ki adimayon lav bar samchahu. And intellectually, we understand that you can't really rely on the imagination just because you imagine something to be so. Nonetheless, the imagination sometimes is victorious because our imagination can really take hold of us. And I would add to this that we'd like to believe what we imagine. I could give an example. They say that when it comes to playing the market, and it doesn't matter if it's the stock market or the horse betting, any person that really does it feels like they have a knack that they're going to be able to do something that no one else does. There's something that people can convince themselves that they can really do this. History books are excellent guides. There are excellent books to study if one wants to intelligently choose a path. And based on what he's learned from the past, a person can lay foundations for his present future and how to decide the future. In other words, those who don't study the mistakes of history are bound to repeat them. But if you do study the mistakes of history, you can learn from them. Ve'omnam but biyota adam ohev lechadesh ve'le'artzot lifnei kahal. Being that human nature is such that we like to say new things, we like to speak before crowds and enthrall the crowd. Nitzberu harbe shkarim b'sifrei ha'toladot. History books are filled with lies because they're based on what people say, and people like to say things that are extraordinary. Ki ven adam eino sone et hakazav b'tivo, because human nature does not hate lies. Our nature does not hate lies. On the contrary, v'rabim ohavim oto. Many people actually enjoy lies. U'mishtashim bo shashuei yedidut. People can spend a lot of time hearing all kinds of legends and fairy tales. It's wonderful. You hear about that flying dragon and the time he leaped up and he says, "Ah, yeah, it's a fantastic story. Why not?" So our nature is such that we actually enjoy lies. V'alachacham nechaper b'sipurei ha'sofrim nekabel et ha'emet v'lezarez et ha'ksavim. When a person is going to read stories, if he's intelligent, his responsibility is to discern, to sift through the stories. V'kan yesh karacha nirchav el ha'dimayon. And here's where imagination takes hold. We read a story, we want to believe it. They asked me to write a few words about a fantastic woman who passed away a year ago. And she really was an extraordinary woman. And you're talking about a woman who came out of the Holocaust at 16 years old and had no relatives. She was living by these uncles and aunts who weren't keeping kosher or anything. And they kept mocking what she was doing. They said, like, why would you do this? This is the new world. You've come to America, you know. Get with the times. And she stood up to all that. She really, a remarkable woman, you know. She stood up to all that. And throughout her life, she did a lot of wonderful things. So last night, they asked me if I could write a few words. I had the good fortune of knowing her for a few years before she passed. So I said, fine. And then they started telling me what they wanted me to include. And I didn't want to upset them. I said, but that's not true. You know, if what you want to write is for the future. So they said, you know, she never got upset at anyone. I said, that's not true. She was a very fine person and she rarely got upset. But I did see her get upset. Why would I write something for future generations that's not accurate? But we don't remember her ever getting upset. Okay, but I do. You know, I knew the person. She did wonderful things, and maybe when she got upset, it was also legitimate. But to say she never said a bad word about anyone is not true. I heard her say bad words about people. I might have agreed with what she said. But I'm not going to write what's not true. So
you just skip over.
Okay, so I said I can address something else, but I don't want to write something that's a lie. Right. But the rest of the people, they were putting together a few people writing different memories of her, so the rest of the people were perfectly fine writing. She never said a bad word against anyone. So you read that and you think, really, can such a person exist? How come I don't see anyone like that today? Was there really someone who never said a bad word against anyone? I don't know. You know, when Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach eulogized his wife, so he said, the custom is that we ask forgiveness of someone when they pass, and in line with the custom, I should really ask forgiveness, but I don't think I ever did anything that I have to ask forgiveness for. He said they were married for decades, and he said, I think we ran our house in accordance with the Shulchan Aruch, and I don't think I ever did anything I should ask forgiveness for, but who knows, maybe I forgot something, and this is the custom, so I will ask for forgiveness. So it made headlines all over the world. And a person can say he doesn't think he has what to ask forgiveness for, okay. So then someone was bold enough to catch him and ask, you never fought with your wife? So he said, sure we fought. So he said, so what do you mean? He said, I never said anything personal. I never said something that I felt I had to ask forgiveness for. We can disagree. Of course, we can have heated disagreements. But so long as they're within a certain realm, so then that's okay. I didn't do anything wrong by disagreeing with her and her disagreeing with me. That's fine. I have nothing to ask forgiveness for. The fact that we disagree, yeah, two human beings living under the same roof will differ. That sounds a little different, right? That's when you hear the conclusion of the story, you suddenly understand, okay. So that's something which I can understand a little bit better. The Chazon Ish says, one of the difficulties in reading history books is that people let their imaginations run. And the nature of the reader is that he also wants to believe it, he wants to accept it. Kiteva dimayon lemaher velitkadem velagid mishpat. And here he says a very powerful sentence. He says, the nature of our imagination is that it's quick to make a declaration. Terem sha'sechel hechin moznei mishpat lishkol befeles davar al ofno. Before the mind has a chance to consider, is what he said accurate? To weigh whether those words should have really been said. Meaning, we speak and we think as we speak or right after we speak, but not so much before we speak. It's very hard to think before you speak. You'd have to speak much slower because you can't think much quicker, but you can speak much slower. So, v'adimayon choretz mishpato kerega, but the imagination decides right away what it's going to say. Our imagination can talk very fast. Mau min ha'emet u'mau min ha'kazav. Be it from truth, be it from lies, but the imagination can talk. And so, says the Chazon Ish, when we speak about imagination, we have to be very careful. It's something we have an attraction to, it's something that speaks before we can think, and it's something which we have a tendency to enjoy listening to. We would like to accept it. And I think this is a very important chapter in this whole work, because if we're going to talk about seeing God in our lives and seeing God in the world we live in, so then one of the dangers in that is that people's imaginations go wild. And then anything that happens, people can think they know what God was thinking. they know, and then they set up whole systems and intricate systems to explain God, and that can be very dangerous. Yes.
What do you say about stories where people tell them and then list a specific accident, a specific incident, which they call an act of God, a miracle?
I think that deserves a long answer. I'm not sure I can answer it in a second. Let's leave it for Thursday night. It's a, saying it's a tough call, you know. Okay, Thursday night, yeah. Yes?
He's not distinguishing between lies and fiction.
Explain to me what you mean.
Piece of fiction, it's not meant to be taken as history.
Oh, but his point is that when people record history, it's filled with fiction. His point is that when people tell over history, it's filled with fiction. I can tell you about newspaper articles. Any time I've had the good fortune of seeing firsthand something that was reported in the news, it appalled me to see the discrepancies between what was seen and what was reported. We had a student that was found dead in bed a few years ago, and the news decided to report it. I was the one who found him. I knew the story. No one else knew the story. Me and the police. And the police didn't approve talking to the reporters, so I didn't talk to the reporters. So then they put out a whole story. They kept begging me for a story, and then I said no. The police said no. They put out a whole story. It had nothing to do with the truth. Didn't matter. Didn't stop them from putting out a story. And I could tell you more stories like that where there were instances where I knew the story and I knew no one else knew. So, and the same goes true for history. There are stories recorded about different people and they're written in biographies. And you talk to the people who were there and suddenly you hear a totally different story. And that's one of the reasons that many sages were not fond of biographies of sages. Because the biographies will very often gloss over some very important facts. I bet you guys never heard about the rabbi who was smoking on Shabbos, right? Maybe you did. A very big rabbi who had had a weak period in his life. A period where his students suddenly walked in one Shabbos afternoon and found him smoking. Yeah, they don't tell you that one, right? Okay, so you hear about the ups, but you don't hear about the downs. If there was an Eruv, that doesn't help you for smoking.
Who is this rabbi?
I'm not going to say on record. No. I'm talking about someone from 200, 250 years ago. I'm saying, you know, big people have ups and big people have downs. They didn't tell you about King David and the time he went to worship idols, right? But that's recorded.
I missed that one.
You missed that one, right? In class, we'll get there. I'm saying so. History books like portraying a certain angle of people, and they gloss over other parts, important parts that big people also had downs. They weren't perfect, you know. So that's why not only the Chazon Ish here, he worded it gently. He said we have a tendency to exaggerate, and we enjoy exaggerating, and that's a lie. And other commentaries, the Pachad Yitzchak, Rav Yitzchak Kuttner, he wrote more harshly. He said, "Don't read biographies. They'll give you this imagined superhero of a rabbi who only had ups and didn't have downs, and they won't tell you about all the times he had downs and the times he had to contend with his weak day or weak month or weak year. And they don't tell you that. And then suddenly you think it." Well, I'm not cut of the same material because I have downs. I don't only have ups. And then it weakens a person.
Would it be good to write like that? I mean, we have in Tanakh Abraham, we have all the giants that we saw the weak on their life. But to this modern rabbi, holy Kadosh rabbi, why he doesn't put the bad things?
Well, it's not an issue of the rabbis.